St. Mark chapter 10. St. Mark chapter 10. When I preached from this gospel before, I have remarked to you that the gospel of Mark is the gospel of touch. And all throughout this gospel, we have learned concerning the compassion of Christ. Christ in regard to the needs of humanity. Christ being touched by the needs of people such as you and I. Tonight we're going to look here in Mark chapter 10, and again we're going to see the compassion of our Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior that is touched with the feelings of our infirmity? And we have a Lord that is concerned about our every need. Situations that may seem tremendous, in those things, He's Christ that is able to conquer. And then the things that may seem trivial, that someone else would think to be small and insignificant, He's Christ the compassionate. Here tonight in Mark chapter 10, we see a man that he has what we would call a tremendous need, a tremendous situation. And Christ proves to be Christ the conqueror. Your need tonight may not be as tremendous as Bartimaeus' need. Yours may seem to be something small, something trivial. I want to say tonight, He's Christ the compassionate. And it matters not if your need is little or great. Christ is concerned about our needs. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, in verse number 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples, a great number of people with His disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The verse that I would like to point out to you tonight for a text is found in verse number 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And then verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. If the Lord would stand by me, I would like to try to preach tonight on the hearing that brings the healing. There's a companion verse that would go along with this thought, and that's found in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. The Apostle Paul contends and says this, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word. Aren't you glad that the day come when you heard? The day come when you heard. Here's a man that was blind. Here's a man that lived in darkness. Here's a man that lived in prison. Here's a man that lived in complete blackness. He no doubt felt that he was just in an imprisonment of darkness and blackness. And oh, if he could ever be delivered, if he could ever be set free from that blackness and that darkness that shut him in. But one day he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he had faith in that man Jesus. And because he acted upon that faith, healing came to him. I want to talk to you tonight about the darkness that some people live in. I want to talk to you tonight about the blindness that perhaps you may have in your life. And immediately, of course, we understand that this is a factual, this is a literal miracle that we, of course, believe, that we support. How many of you believe the miracles in God's Word really happen? They're not something that are analytical. They're not something parabolic. They're not something that are just to try to show a topical picture. No, they are literal, factual miracles that took place. However, your blindness tonight, your blindness may not be a literal blindness. Your blindness may be a partial blindness. Your blindness may be a part in your life that is dark, something that because you overlook, you do not see. How many of you understand things in our life that we overlook, we do not see them? You see, Jesus spoke of those that having eyes to see, they see not. And so the first thing I want to say tonight concerning Bartimaeus is the disability that he suffered. And immediately it's aware to us what his disability was. He was a blind man. He did not have the sense of sight. He did not have the blessing of seeing. And of course, most of all of us here tonight, either by God's good blessings you have sight, or either also by the means of eyeglasses such as myself, you have the ability to see. Very frankly, if it wasn't for these glasses, I would not see much at all. But I have sight. I have limited sight. However, I want to preach to you tonight of the danger, the possibility, if you will, of living in a life of blindness. Of where that perhaps there is a disability in your life, there is a disability in my life, there perhaps may even be evident a disability in the church of where we are blind to certain things. And what we need is for the Lord to bring wholeness and healing to our lives so that we may see things as they really are. You know, oftentimes we become so distracted and we become so involved with our own little world that we do not see things that are obvious. They are there, and they would be seen if we would only look to see them. But because we are blinded to things, we don't see them. Today, I visited the hospital. I prayed with a 22-year-old boy. He is a severe diabetic. When they brought him into the hospital, his blood sugar was 800. It's a wonder he didn't die of a diabetic stroke. They've been able to get his blood sugar down between 200 and 300. But it's not diabetes that put him in the hospital as much as inducing chemicals into his bloodstream, putting chemicals into his body. Various types of drugs that he's been on is nearly to destroy his body. But there he is. He has, quote-unquote, a loving family. He has people that are concerned about him, that see him every day, and he winds up in a coma, and somebody says, we better get him to the hospital. And they take him to the hospital, but the doctor comes in, and he sees more than what other people see. Stay with me now. He sees more than just what family members see. And he begins to look there on the arm and sees those tracks in the arm. He begins to look and he sees those needle points that are there in the skin. And he realizes and says, this young man has more problems than just diabetes. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oftentimes the evidence is there, but we have eyes that do not see. And that's the message that God has dealt with me about this past week in regard to you and I as Christians. And as we as a church here in Texarkana, there may be a blindness that is on us. There may be scales that is upon our eyes. And there's a world out there that needs God. But because of the blindness that is upon our eyes, we cannot see things as they really are. Oh God. I want to say two things concerning Bartimaeus and this disability that he suffered. And the first thing is, he was personally aware. He was personally aware of his need. You'll note that I read to you in verse number 51, Jesus quizzed this blind man and asked of him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He knew what his disability was, and he was aware of what his disability was. Come now. Are you aware of what your disability may be? Are you aware of what your need is? Here is a man that was blind, and of course he knew he was blind. Come on here now. How did he know he was blind? Because he could not see. That's rhetorical. That's easy to answer. He knew he was blind because he could not see. Well, then what about us, spiritually, emotionally, in our everyday life? Are we seeing things as they really are? Or maybe perhaps there's a blindness that's in our life? Reminds me of the old preacher who told of a man that went to see a psychiatrist. And the man went in to see this head doctor, if you will, this psychiatrist. And he had a fried egg laying on top of his head and a bacon strip hanging over each ear. And the doctor said, "Sir, can I help you? Do you have a problem?" He said, "No, it's not me. It's my sister I need to talk to you about." You know, many times we personally, and we as the church, are that way. Amen. I'm going to preach now, so you may as well help me. The Holiness Church, we've got a reputation for pointing our finger. And many times we holiness people, we're known for pointing our finger. Amen. And smiling and looking at someone else and saying, yeah, you. But we forget about the disability and the blindness that may be plaguing our own lives. Bartimaeus was a blind man, and he knew he was blind, and he wanted to do something about it. How about we as the church? Are we aware of what our disability is? Are we aware of what our weakness may be? Are we aware of where we may be coming short? Are we aware of the failures that may be prevalent in our life that could be obvious to others, but so inobvious to we ourselves? He was personally aware of his need. And he was passionate. He was passionate about his need. When he heard that Jesus was passing by, he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd said, "Now look here, Jesus is passing by, and we don't want no embarrassments. We don't want anybody interrupting the show. We want a cool, calm, collected service. Jesus is passing by, and we want everything true to form. We don't want no shouting. We don't want no hollering. We don't want anybody being radical. We don't want anybody being demonstrative. Nobody get emotional. Nobody get red in the face while they're preaching. Let's keep it cool. Let's keep it quiet." Now, come on now. But the Bible said he cried the great deal of more. He was passionate about his need. You know what? I've come to the conclusion, brother and sister, that you and I are not going to get any help for the situation we're in unless we get concerned ourselves. Until we're willing to cry out the more a great deal. Until we get emotional about our prayers. until we get concerned about the situation we're in and we let Jesus know and everybody else becomes aware that is around us, they want something different in their life. They want a change in their life. Very easy. Very easy to come and be satisfied. Very easy to come and, you know, just sort of spectate and enjoy the show. But before you know it, the service is over and gone. And Jesus has passed you by. And Christ leaves from among us. And you go back to your home and you're carrying the same sickness, disability. You've got the same problem. You're still looking for answers. You still got the same situation you're dealing with. But you did not take, amen, advantage of the opportunity of crying out to Jesus as he passed by. Amen. Notice the determination that he showed. Not only the disability that he suffered, but secondly now, the determination that he showed. He showed that he was a desperate man. He showed that he was a determined man. And the Bible said when he heard in verse number 47 that it was Jesus. Now, for you that were here in the service when I attempted to preach concerning Abraham, I made a statement that I want to mention again to you, and that is the work of God in the life of the believer is potential. And having done one thing in your life, God will do another. And having done that, he will move to another. It lies in the potential. It is progressive. Amen? It moves from one to another and to another and the next. I read to you in Mark 10 and 47 concerning blind Bartimaeus, he heard. And then having heard, he acted upon what he heard. And I quoted to you Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word. The work of God in the life of the believer and in the church lies in the potential. We act upon what we know. Glory to God. And I wanted to show you there in Job chapter 42 and verse number 5. Here's Job's testimony after the storm. Here's Job's testimony after the trial. And in verse 5 of chapter 42, Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Praise God. You see, as it is obvious in the life of blind Bartimaeus, and this miracle that the Master performed in his life, the miracle began first with hearing. And he acted upon what he heard. And ultimately the sight came to him that was blind. May I say to you here tonight, there may be some things that if you would be honest with yourself, you would say, Preacher, I have read it, but I just don't see it that way. I have heard it, but I just don't see it that way. I know what you're preaching. I know what the Bible says about holiness. I can hear you speaking, preacher. I hear what you're saying. But there's some things that I just do not see. You're like blind Bartimaeus, and you're by the wayside, and you realize you have a disability, but you have heard of Jesus. Thank God you heard. There may be some things you do not see. There may be some things you do not understand. And by seeing, I mean comprehend. It's not been revealed to you. You've heard the truth, but it's not yet got in your heart. May I say, if you'll just cry out to Jesus, having heard, you can believe on what you've heard, and he'll speak a miracle to you, and your eyes will be opened, and you will see things that you've never saw before. Will you shout amen? I know a lot of people that have struggled with holiness, that have struggled with righteousness, that have struggled with godly living. And it seemed that they just had a problem seeing things. They just didn't see it. But then in the midst of their darkness, in the midst of their misunderstanding, in the midst of their confusion, they heard that it was Jesus. And then having heard, faith begins to act, because faith comes by hearing. And the work of God lies in the potential. You begin to build. You begin to act. You begin to stand. And you begin to move upon what you have heard. Notice this man here, blind Bartimaeus, how that he showed determination and how desperate he was for a miracle in his life. In verse number 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. And casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He was willing to respond to Christ. Christ sent for him and said, you come. There it is. There's the first step you must make. Having heard the word, having heard of Jesus, you must be willing to respond. My friend, if your heart is hungry, if you have questions about holiness, if you have questions about a godly life, and it may be something you've never heard preached before, it may be something that is new to you, oh, but you've heard of Jesus, you know who He is, you know He's a miracle worker, you know He's a problem solver, you know He's a heart mender, and you know that He's able to do anything. So what you must do, if you want the blindness to be healed from your eyes, when He says come, you've got to respond to Jesus. When you feel the Spirit beckon, when you hear the Lord call, you may not see Him, but you hear Him. And before you'll ever see Him, you must obey Him when you hear Him. We will never see Him unless we first obey Him when we hear Him. Great God. And Bartimaeus, having heard that Jesus called for him, he cast aside his beggar's coat. He threw aside that garment that made him so conspicuous as a blind beggar, as if to say, I'm throwing off the old coat because I'm not going to need this any longer. I'm not going to need this beggar's garment ever again. I'm going to where Jesus is. Hallelujah. And in verse number 51, here is this man who is not only willing to respond to Christ, he's now waiting to receive from Christ. And Jesus says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Do you have a request tonight? Do you have a need? If it were only you and Him, if it were you and the Lord alone, and you could ask anything you wanted, if personally He came to you, each of us singly, each of us in a solitary moment, and said to us, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Here's a man that knew what he needed. Here's a man that asked for what he needed. I want to assure someone here tonight, it matters not how trivial, it matters not how tremendous. If it's something as insignificant and small as some personal, unspoken request that you do not even feel comfortable to name. Jesus is concerned about that tonight. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Or it may be something as tremendous as a man that's blind. Jesus still is unabashed. He's unafraid. He's no more challenged by the trivial than the tremendous. It don't make no difference to him. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, you may have come here tonight with a question. You may have come here tonight on a search. You may have come here tonight on a quest. And you're looking for some answers. There's some things that you just don't quite see. There's some things that you just have not yet found. Your life is a quest. Your life is a search. And there's some things that you want to see. Some things you hope to see. But you've never yet seen them. Come to Christ. Make your request known. Stand waiting to receive from the Lord. In verse number 52, is beautiful, isn't it? And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Last, the darkness that gave way to sight. Here is a man that heard, and he acted upon what he heard. And in faith he came to Jesus, and the darkness gave way to sight. I could mention several people that I know. You perhaps could name some when you understand what I'm about to say, that in their mind, spiritually, and in their understanding, they were blinded. And we're not ignorant of that blindness. Paul even warned us that the God of this world would blind the minds of people. Blinded so that they could not see. You know, there are some people that are so steeped in their religion that live under such a fear, amen, of their religion, that are so deeply steeped in their ritualism and in their form of religion, be it Catholicism, be it the Muslims, and on and on and on I could go. But when it comes to the Lord's Christ, when it comes to the forgiveness of sins, when it comes to faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, they're blinded to that. Come on, help me while I preach. Amen. They just cannot see that in Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross, that he is the at-one-ment between God and man, the atonement. He is the reconciliation. He makes the twain one. The two are now brought together. There are many people that are blinded to that truth. They do not understand. They do not see how that the blood can be the forgiveness of sin in 1949. In 1949, the General Council of the United Methodist Churches of America, they said, no longer will we teach a slaughterhouse religion. And from 1949 till today, the blood of Jesus Christ as the propitiation of sin is not mentioned in the Methodist Churches of America. And we've got a whole generation that are blinded to the fact that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. What am I saying? There are people that are blinded to the truth. Amen. That's only just one illustration. There is a world of people that are caught up in so many heresies and so many things, amen, that are leading them into error and astray. We must pray that they will hear of Jesus, that they will come to the truth, and they will act upon what they have heard, and they will see him of whom they have heard. That's what Job said. I heard of him. I heard of him. By the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee in the darkness of Bartimaeus gave way to sight. And Jesus said, this is what Jesus said concerning Bartimaeus. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Come now. in regard to the darkness that fled his life and the sight that filled his eyes. How did it happen? What brought on this miracle? What caused this miracle? How did it come to pass? Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." It wasn't somebody else's faith. It certainly wasn't the crowd's faith. They were trying to quiet him down. They were attempting to shut him up. It was not their faith. Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." What did he base his faith on? What he heard. Wonder what he heard. Wonder what was it that he heard. A miracle that had happened. The raising of the dead. The curing of the cripple. Some miracle. Something that Jesus done, it caused a blind man to have faith. And you say, "Preacher, but I don't know much." It don't take much. Jesus said, "If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou cast yonder into the sea." He uses a contrast of terms. A mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, the most tiny of seeds, just a mere speck, a speck of faith, hallelujah, can move a mountain. You may say, "Preacher, I do not have much faith. I do not have much knowledge. I do not have much understanding. I do not have much ability." It does not take much faith when you are putting your faith in a great God. Hallelujah. It's not the amount of faith. It's just where you're putting the faith at. Would you say amen? It's not the amount of faith you have. It only takes a little faith as long as you're placing that faith in God. And Jesus said to this blind man, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to preach to somebody in the house tonight. You may have come here and you're sick in your body and you do not have much faith. You're worn and you're tired. And emotionally and physically you're drained. I want to preach some hope into your heart tonight and tell you it don't take much faith as long as you put your faith in the right place. I said Bartimaeus put his faith in Jesus Christ and he got his miracle. House of prayer tonight. If you'll put your faith in the right place, you can leave with your miracle.
Amen. His faith made him whole. And Mark closes by saying this. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. His faith made him whole. And he followed Jesus in the way. Remember, I told you, and this is the thrust of what I'm trying to preach tonight. The work of God in the life of the believer lies in the potential. At the first, he only heard. And he sat by the wayside. Everybody passing him by. And then he acted upon what he heard. And Jesus called him to him. And when this chapter closes, and this story comes to an end, Bartimaeus is no longer sitting
by the wayside begging, but he is following Jesus in the way, one step at a time. The work of God is progressive in the heart of the Christian. I hear, I act upon what I have heard. My eyes are open. I see what I have never seen before, and I follow Jesus in the way. And the more I follow Him, the more I follow Him, the sweeter He grows, the more nearer and dearer He is in my heart. You know, I don't know the background of all of you. I do not know what faith, amen, may be in your family or where you may have come from. My family on mother's side come from a nominal church. And then from my dad's side, there was no church. But when God come to us and our family heard of Jesus, we were a long way back yonder. But thank God we heard. And there were a lot of things we did not understand. There were many things that we did not know. But we heard and we acted upon what we heard. And ultimately, the sight and the seeing came. And with the sight and the seeing, we began to follow Jesus. And for now 30 years now, my family, my parents have followed the Lord. And may I say, it's been a good journey. I said, it's been a good journey. I'm glad for when I heard the Lord and I followed after His word, and He opened my eyes, and I followed Him along the way. Let's stand all over the house. Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for these precious people. Thank You, God, for this word that You inspired me with earlier this week. And the healing, God, that hearing of You will bring. And God, that person that's here tonight that may be looking for a new walk, God, that's needing a fresh faith, Lord, that needs to be renewed in their spirit and in their salvation and their dedication to You. Open their eyes, Lord, that they may see, so that they may follow You in the way. Your heads are bowed, Sister Mary, if you will. Well, there it is. Earlier this week, as I was praying, God began to deal with me about that miracle. And it's been my prayer that God would make that miracle new in our lives. For that blindness, for that darkness that you may be experiencing, for that you don't understand, you just don't see it, you can't comprehend. There's part of that that's just dark, and it's not been opened to you yet. But you have heard. So do the next thing. Obey Him when He calls you. And when He says come, you come. When you feel His Spirit drawing you, you come near. And He'll speak to you. And the things that you don't see, He'll make them plain. The things you don't understand, He'll make it clear. And you too can follow Jesus in the way. Any blind beggars in the house tonight? Anybody been sitting by the wayside? Depending on somebody to just drop them a little coin? Begging for just a little blessing? Begging for just a morsel now and then? Jesus is passing by. And if you'll come to Him, He can speak the miracle into your life that'll open things up to you that you've never seen before, so that you too can follow Jesus in the way. I want to be a true follower. I want to follow Him. I want to be His disciple. I don't know what question you may have come with tonight. There may be something this very week that you have come upon. Something in the last few days that you may have come against. And you've just had to pray, Lord, show me that. Help me to see. Help me to understand. I've talked to people many times, and some of you older saints, you have also. People would come to you with questions about holiness standards, about the righteous way, and they'd say, I just don't see it. But my advice to them has always been, keep a praying, keep a reading. He'll make it plain. And when once you see it for yourself, can't nobody take it away from you. There are some convictions that I have. There are some things that I will not do. They are some things that I will not allow. Because the Holy Ghost put it in my heart. He's the one that caused me to see it. Can't nobody talk me out of it. I saw it for myself. And that's my message to us tonight. The work of God in the heart of the Christian lies in the potential. And if you'll act upon what you've heard, He'll speak sight to you. And He'll open your understanding. And you can follow Jesus in the way. Let's fill these altars tonight.